Welcome to Ageless by Rescue. This podcast is devoted to exploring the science of rejuvenation, uncovering the most trusted experts, the must-have products, innovations, and technology in the field of vitality, aesthetics, new beauty, and cosmetic enhancement. I'm Baha Etmanen, the founder and editor of Ageless by Rescue. Ageless by Rescue gives you unprecedented access to international and Australian experts and visionaries.
Hi, it's Miranda Kerr here on Ageless by Rescue podcast.
Hi, this is Martha Kay and you are on Ageless by Rescue podcast.
I'm Trini Woodall. I mean, I feel I'm being interviewed by the sexiest woman in the world.
Welcome to another episode of Ageless by Rescue. Joining me today is Nadine DeLong, a seasoned journalist and industry expert in the field of aesthetic treatment and wellness. For the past 7 years, Nadine has been at the helm of Spa and Clinic magazine, Australia's leading B2B publication for the aesthetics and wellness markets. With an impressive 17-year career in journalism, she is the front line of launches and innovation. She also brings a multifaceted perspective to her commentary. Having also worked as an assistant manager at one of Sydney's top plastic surgery clinics. Through her role at Spa and Clinic, Nadine has become a trusted source of information for the industry of the aesthetics and wellness professionals across Australia, New Zealand, and the Asia Pacific region. So I wanted to invite Nadine to join me on the show, because we're often at many events and symposiums together. And I wanted us to have a conversation behind the velvet ropes of the industry about a topic that's really going to be at the forefront of many, many discussions: lasers and technological devices. This episode is dedicated to help you navigate the path of technology, which might be another part of your treatment process, and also to help you better advocate for yourself when you are having a consultation with an expert. I look forward to your thoughts on this episode, and I'm so grateful for Nadine to join me on this episode so that she can share some of her extensive experience and knowledge about lasers and devices specific to skin concerns on this episode for you. Nadine, welcome to the show. I'm so pleased, and I can't believe that I didn't think of this earlier seasons to have you on the show, because now that we've been doing the conference circuits together and so many launches, I realize you have been exposed to everything for so long, and you have an unbiased perspective of what's good and what's bad, and a really great broad cross-section of exposure. So this is going to be a great conversation. I can already feel it.
Thank you for having me on your podcast, Baha. I try to be as unbiased as I can. And yes, I have been going to the conferences for the past sort of 9 years, which is quite a lot now. So there's a lot to unpack.
Well, I guess I'm an aesthetic conference newbie compared to you. It's only been the past 3 years. But one of the things that, you know, I've observed and certainly spoken to you about is the excitement and the proliferation around devices and lasers. And the industry, for, you know, better or worse, is very good at speaking to itself. So the amazing scientific programs that we get to sit and watch and be alongside is not something that a regular person would have access to. And for me, I always sit in those sessions thinking, oh my God, I wish I could tell my friends about this. Oh my God, I can't wait to talk about it on my podcast, because the information seems so hidden behind the velvet rope of, you know, the industry. And we only get a little bit of it depending on what our clinic happens to have. So the idea behind this episode is for you and I to have some conversation around different categories of technology that are now available in Australia, what they do, and to help us better advocate for ourselves when we're having clinical treatment, and also just to up our knowledge as citizen scientists. I always like to say my audience is a citizen scientist. She or he is deeply curious about the science behind cellular wellness, aesthetics, and longevity. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's do it.
You did something very clever ahead of this show, and you decided that the best way to talk about this would be to talk in categories. And I really like that because, again, it makes it very consumer-friendly, which we'd like to do for this episode. Mm-hmm. Let's start at the very beginning, diagnosis. What technology are out there and what are you particularly excited to tell us about?
Yes, so this is a very important step, I feel, for anyone out there who's thinking about treating one of their skin concerns and finding a practitioner and finding a clinic. You know, you want to go to a place that you can trust. And I always feel a very good sign of a good skin clinic is if they have proper clinical imaging. So what you should expect when you go to a skin clinic for the first time is a thorough consultation. And this is so important because as a consumer, you don't know which treatment is best for you. You have to go to someone like a dermaclinician or a dermatologist, depending on your concern, and have them analyze your skin and then suggest a treatment plan. And the only proper way to do this is with clinical imaging. So there are devices out there which take very close-up photos of your face or the part of the body that you want treated, and they can analyze your skin. So the practitioner will first give you a good cleanse and then take photos of your face or the part that you want treated. And then you'll see your skin like you've never seen it before. And just a warning, this is a very humbling experience.
Because, it really is. Yes. For me, the most confronting aspect of skin analysis and this level of diagnosis is when you come face to face with your sun damage. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it is, as you said, quite humbling, because aesthetic and appearance stuff aside, when you start to see what's below the surface, when you think, oh, I've been so good, I've been using SPF 50 or whatever for the past 20 years, but I'm 50, it's about the 30 years before that, you know. Yeah. Every time I've been burnt, when you have, you know, that level of diagnosis on your skin, you see all the naughtiness of your childhood. You see every single time you didn't use sunscreen.
There's a lot hiding underneath the skin surface that you can't see in your bathroom mirror. So, yeah, and these devices can actually show you in different colors. For example, they can show you all the redness, the blood vessels, and they can also show you pigmentation. So that photo will most likely, for most people in Australia, look like you've got brown spots everywhere. And the practitioner will most likely say, oh, look, I can see, you know, you only applied sunscreen up until here. You missed that top bit. Or I can see you didn't apply sunscreen here because look at all the pigmentation. So it's actually really educational also on what to do afterwards with your sunscreen. But yeah, it can show you so much more than pigmentation. It can show you the firmness of your skin. And there are some really good devices out there who can actually, which can actually simulate a result. So a practitioner can show you what your skin is going to look like, most likely, if you go ahead with a certain treatment. And this also works with fillers and anti-wrinkle, which is also great too, to show you what kind of result you can expect. So there's a lot that you can learn just from your consultation.
You know, the other thing that I had for the first time a few years ago, which I found to be so good, was body composition analysis. So if you are going to a clinic, not only to have your face diagnosed with some good analysis tools ahead of starting any kind of treatment, mm-hmm. but also having your body composition done before you do any kind of body treatment. So it might be contouring, it might be fat loss, it might be skin tightening, it might be cellulite treatment. Yeah. But understanding your composition, your hydration, your skin laxity, your muscle strength from one side of the body to the other, from one arm to the other, it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. I always believe that we are the only people responsible to advocate for our own health. And I'm a massive fan of knowing your internal dashboard. I often advocate for DNA testing, for mm-hmm. functional testing, and for requesting pathology, going to your doctor and asking for pathology testing for your thyroids, for all sorts of things, really, because how can you know? How can you know?
Exactly. And you need a baseline. You need to know where you're starting so that you can actually see if the treatment you're about to have is changing anything. Because if it's not, then you likely want your money back.
One of the things that I thought was one of the best experiences that I had in aesthetics, and it doesn't always happen this way, you would know this. So the truth is, in full disclosure, we are offered just about everything for free. And that's the truth. And it's kind of part of the job description to try it and to report on it. And many, many times, the thing that I find frustrating about this generous offer or, you know, exchange, if you will, of information for our opinion is that it's not clinically measurable. Mm-hmm. And I have said to brands before who've got a new device or a new technology, but how will it be measured? And one of my best experiences was at Ultimo Dermatology, I was trying the M-Face device, which was a skin tightening and radio frequency and also a muscle contraction device. And at the beginning of my treatment and throughout my treatment, I had 3D and 4D scans and the video lab to really measure everything. And yes, I could see visible differences, but what I could see beneath the surface was the most compelling. And it was so reaffirming to me that that technology worked for me, that I was able to really write a glowing coverage about it and to recommend it to friends and to clinics that I consult to as well. But for me, just having the treatment alone would never have given me that level of confidence and confirmation. Would you agree with that?
I agree. And I remember your before and afters, and I was actually so happy to see them, because a lot of the time you see a before and after taken with an iPhone, you cannot count that as clinical imaging or as showing a result, because the light will always be slightly different. The angle will always be slightly different. And when it's a treatment like M-Face, which we'll get to a bit later and explain exactly what it does, the results are good, but they are subtle. And so you need clinical imaging to really show you exactly what has changed. And that might also motivate you to have another treatment. So it's not just good for yourself, but it's also good for the clinic, because they can prove to you that the devices that they have actually work.
I mean, also with skincare, you touched on it before, and we'll move on to all the other devices but I love that you wanted to start at the very beginning and talk about clinical imaging. I love this. With skincare, again, we spend so much money. We're really heavily invested in hope in a jar. And clinical skincare, which is, you know, what I often speak about on my show and certainly what you talk about on your publications and platform, is meant to have more potent ingredients, more efficacious results, a transformative element to it that cosmetic skincare may not. And again, I find that having the clinical imaging as part of the conversation is really, really important. And, you know, if you are having brightening or a melasma treatment or a firming treatment, it's really hard to really see, or even hydration, like, you know, something with that's focusing on hydration or brightness or skin density. You can't, yes, you can say you look better, but you can't really talk about it in a scientific, clinical, proven way.
Especially because you see yourself in the mirror every day. It's a similar thing when that's you lose or gain weight. You don't really notice it unless you're tracking something, you know, because it's a gradual process. And that's why you need this clinical imaging. And yes, with skincare, absolutely. I mean, skincare should be the basis of any skin treatment. So even if you have a device treatment, if you don't have a proper skincare regime that works for you and your skin, it's likely a waste of money. So it's always part, it should be part of a treatment plan.
Can I ask you something? We know that most clinics will have some kind of a imaging system. Is there anything at home? So, you know, there are so many advancements in at-home devices and technology. So you were saying, you know, you can track your sleep, you can track your weight, you can track your blood sugar, you know, wearing an Oura ring with your Apple Watch, with home kits. Is there anything for face scanning that's an at-home version that you've seen that you think is worth investing in?
To be honest, no. I think there's a reason that clinics have professional devices that cost thousands of dollars.
You know, like $30,000, $40,000. Yeah.
As using your phone, then they wouldn't need it. So I don't trust these AI programmed iPhone programs yet. I haven't done a lot of research, so I may be wrong, but I just don't see how an iPhone lens can tell you exactly what's going on in your skin. There are so many variables, most importantly, the lighting. Lighting is so important. I can make myself look horrible with the wrong lighting, or quite bright and awake, like right now, because I have the light coming from the front, right? So I feel it's the same with these at-home skin diagnostic tools. It depends on, there are just too many variables that you can't control.
Okay, I'm going to move along now to skin conditions, because our conversation is going to help you decipher what technology might be interesting for you to explore based on your skin condition. The first one I want to talk about is redness, because redness is a really, really awful one for some a person who's experiencing it. It feels like you want to hide, and you know, in your own hand, in a consumer's hand, the only thing that we've had really at our fingertips is cosmetic to disguise it. And treatments are long-term. So even skin care type of treatments are long-term. Hmm. But there are devices and there are lasers that specifically target redness. And I'd love for you to talk to that.
Sure. So yeah, redness is one of the hardest conditions to treat, especially rosacea. So there are a few different kinds of redness, but most people with, you know, redness every day have rosacea, and you should get diagnosed by a dermatologist. I have rosacea, so I know very well how frustrating it can be. And unfortunately, there's no cure. So I need everyone out there to know there is no miracle fix for pretty much anything, but especially when it comes to redness. There's no cure, but you can definitely reduce the redness and do something so that it doesn't get worse over the years, because usually it does. The older you get, the more your rosacea flares up. So there are two common ways to treat redness. One is through lasers and one is through light therapy, so IPL. So maybe we'll start with the lasers. So lasers, they produce a single wavelength. So they use one part of the rainbow, if we may call it that, and they target it to one specific point under your skin. So it's a lot of energy. It's usually a lot of heat. And when you use a laser for your redness, the laser targets basically the blood vessel, so the hemoglobin, which is a protein found in your blood cells. So it targets the blood cells, and it basically destroys the blood vessel. And your body then naturally eliminates it, and that's why you appear less red, because there's less blood flow to these certain areas where you just have a bit too much. So that's a laser treatment. It's usually you have a bit of downtime because there's so much heat.
I was just about to ask you, is it a painful treatment? What's the downtime? What's kind of the side effect?
It's just very hot. Some practitioners use something called a Zimmer cooling device that you may hold yourself. It's just cold air blowing on your face while they're doing the treatment. Other lasers have...
I was watching a video on the Shape Clinic Instagram, I think yesterday, and Dr. Stephen Liu was having a laser treatment, and the device for cooling wasn't working, and he got it late after the treatment. But it was quite funny to watch, because I know I've had treatments before, and like you hold on to that thing like your life depends on it. It's like the green whistle if you're having a painful treatment.
Exactly.
Cold air and, you know, pain killing is really, really essential sometimes.
It helps. So basically, you just need to do something to cool down the top layer of your skin, because mm-hmm. the laser obviously penetrates deeper and it's supposed to create a lot of heat under your skin so that the blood vessels are destroyed.
But you know, it's so funny. As you're talking, I don't have rosacea, but I think, oh gosh, that might feel counterintuitive to heat up your rosacea.
It does feel counterintuitive, but in this case it works because you're destroying the source of the redness, basically.
Got it.
But yeah, you just want to cool the top layer of your skin. So you either do that with a little, you know, a little Zimmer device that you hold and it blows cold air onto your face, or other lasers have a cooled tip. So the part of the laser that touches your skin is super cold, and that's how they work around that. So
is that what they call cold laser?
No, that's different.
That's a different technology. We talk about that later. Got it. Yeah, talking more of a
yes.
movie.
So that's laser for redness. Usually, like with anything, you need a few treatments. You usually can't target everything in one treatment, but there are some really good lasers out there where you will definitely see a result after. You will be red, you will be swollen, especially if you have a lot of redness. So if there's a lot to target for the laser, you will be quite puffy and very hot for at least a few hours, maybe a couple of days. Everyone's different. But after a few days, you should see a reduced redness in your face, which is brilliant. So that's laser. Very important to mention, for darker skin tones, laser is always tricky. Because it produces heat, anything that produces heat can also be attracted to the pigment in your skin. And if you have a darker skin tone, you produce more melanin. So the laser might be attracted to the melanin, which actually produces more melanin, and you can get hyperpigmentation. You can get burned more easily. So usually practitioners will probably not recommend a laser to treat redness in darker skin tones. But there's something else that you can do, which is IPL or photorejuvenation machines. So this is often called laser, which is wrong. These machines are also used for laser hair removal, but again, it's not actually laser hair removal. It's a photo rejuvenation machine that uses a broad spectrum of light. So with the lasers, you know how I said there's only one color of the rainbow spectrum.
That's it, yes.
Uses the whole rainbow, if you like, and it uses light to zap a layer of your skin, and it does ultimately the same as the laser. It targets the blood vessel and it destroys it with heat produced at a certain layer of your skin. So in general, IPL is a little bit more gentle. You won't have as much downtime as with a laser, but you might also need more treatments because of that. So unfortunately, it's always like that. If you have a more gentle treatment that doesn't have as much downtime, you'll likely need more treatments than with a let's just do it right now, painful treatment. Yeah. So those are the two devices. There's actually a third one, which is similar to IPL. It's called BBL. And I just want to mention it because BBL, a lot of people think about Brazilian butt lift, but we don't even want to go
there. We don't even think about that.
No. So if you see BBL in a redness context, it is broadband light.
Okay. Two questions. How do we know which is better for us? Is this a decision by our practitioner? Is this part of the consultation process? And is this limited to what device that clinic happens to have on hand, not necessarily what's best for us?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So I think it's definitely up to the practitioner. Again, as a consumer, unless you're really savvy and you've sort of half studied skin, you can't know what's best for you. So have a good consultation, and depending on your skin, your condition, your skin type, how dark your skin is, the practitioner should suggest or recommend the right treatment. But absolutely, if the skin clinic only has an IPL, they will most likely recommend that. So it's very tricky for a consumer to know if they found the best treatment out there for their skin condition, unfortunately. So, you know, if you want to be sure, get a second opinion.
One of the things I always like to ask is, you know, and in my consultation, I do ask what technologies a clinic offers. And, but I guess I have half studied skin and I do have exposure to a lot of options. So I know, and I'm a bit more confident in advocating for myself. And I can tell you on a number of occasions, I've actually got up pre-treatment and said, actually, I don't think this is going to be right for me. Because I know what can happen to my skin if it's not treated correctly. Yep. But it doesn't often happen for consumers in that way. And the other thing that I think is interesting, which I will raise on behalf of consumers, and I'd love your kind of from the professional side of the fence for us to have this discussion, is when I first started getting laser treatment, I was quite surprised that it wasn't my physician or my injector who was performing the treatment. So I would have the consultation and then I would be handed over to a dermal clinician or a nurse or someone else in the practice that was going to administer the treatment. And that was always a bit of a disconnect for me, because I thought, oh, are they qualified? Do they know as much as a doctor? And that for me, I think for a consumer would be a little bit confusing as to why the doctor isn't, or why the nurse, or why the practitioner that they see isn't giving the treatment to you.
Yes. So the short answer is because a doctor would need more money. Like you would have to pay more.
It would be more expensive. Yeah.
More expensive. If the doctor does the treatment, you will most likely pay a lot more. And there are places where the doctor does the treatment, but it's not uncommon for a dermal therapist, a dermal clinician, or a nurse to do these kinds of treatments, even beauty therapists, to be honest. And it's an important topic that we should briefly discuss because
I do want to discuss
it. The legislation around lasers in Australia is confusing and it differs from state to state, which I think is horrible. I wish it were just the same in every state. Sometimes I write articles and I'm like, oh, hang on, that only applies to New South Wales, or this only applies to Tasmania, or whatever. The short explanation is that in New South Wales, South Australia, Northern Territory, Victoria, and the ACT, the rules are quite lax. Yeah, you only need a laser safety certificate. This is basically just an online course. It's a few hours, maybe a couple of days, where you learn about lasers and how to treat. And if you have that, you are allowed to perform treatments with a laser. In Queensland, you need
so much. I can't tell you. And I think particularly if you have a skin condition, like we just talked about, like rosacea, which is so aggravating and potentially painful, and as you said, can't be cured. I really want someone who's got more than an online certificate to be wielding a laser towards my face.
Yeah, ideally, definitely. In Queensland, you need an infection control certificate on top of that, and some practical hours. And I think that's probably the one thing that I wish everyone would need, right? You want them to have practical hours supervised so that they actually know what they're doing. In WA, you need practical hours and an added course for tattoo removal if you want to do that. In Tasmania, you need to prove to the radiation health department that you know what you're doing. I'm not sure what that involves, but again, there's just an added layer. So yeah, the rules are not as tight in New South Wales and a few other states, unfortunately. So yes, if you feel during the consultation that something's not right, you don't think the person really knows what they're doing. Usually it's a gut feeling, wouldn't you agree? Like, because we can't really know if they know, but it's a gut
feeling. My gut feeling is so finely tuned. And I really think that I am on the other side of the spectrum when it comes to these things. You know, I've had fights with doctors before, which is not a popular thing to do, because I genuinely in my soul felt like I was potentially in danger. But most people don't have that. Most people abdicate all responsibility to someone who's treating them. And whilst you and I might have a slightly more fine-tuned gut feeling, I would like to think that legislation and the clinic's integrity is what's going to protect us so that we don't have to rely on our gut feeling. And one of the things that I wanted to kind of touch on as part of this broader conversation, particularly with you having had such a deep immersion on the professional side of the industry, is, you know, all of these new changes in legislation, certainly in the cosmetic surgery and cosmetic enhancement area, they're certainly pesky, and they've caused a lot of buzz and change in the way people operate. But I think at the core of it, the idea was to move the dial from the very loose goose operation that had been occurring both in surgical and non-surgical to somewhere where the patients are protected. So, you know, I wrote an article about it yesterday that went up because, you know, all the TGA rules, it's one thing for the doctors, but for a consumer, what does it mean when they can no longer go online and see a menu of services? Mm-hmm. What does it mean when you don't know what services a clinic offers? You don't know who offers what. You have to pay for a consultation, and only in the consultation you'll get told what your course of treatment might be. So I don't know, like, I get that they're trying to protect the consumer because it's a loose goose operation otherwise.
Yeah, it's the topic in our industry, isn't it? And a lot of people are frustrated, and I think particularly because these new rules aren't evidence-based that they will actually improve patient safety. So a lot of practitioners are like, well, if it doesn't, if you don't have any proof that any of this is going to improve patient safety, then what the hell? Why make our life so hard? And everyone wants to educate the patients, and it's becoming really, really hard. I mean, you can still talk about laser treatments, so we'll probably see a lot more about
that. I'd love to talk more about laser treatment. And one of the things, the past three conferences I've been to this year, is I am really excited about non-invasive treatment. I am going to double down on exploring laser treatments for myself, certainly, and also for the audience. You mentioned before that there's some limitations around skin tone and laser, but one of the things we've seen more recently is claims by new laser device launches that it treats all Fitzpatrick skin types. And there's a lot of movement in that space. One of the ones that I saw at the dermatology conference, ASDC, is that it? ASDC?
ASCD.
ASCD that we went to in Melbourne was, for example, Aerolase, which is a laser and that treats all skin tones. Mm-hmm. And I've had that treatment before. And, you know, I am darker and I am quite wary of laser, and it had no downtime. And I had some treatment for some broken capillaries around my nose. Brilliant. I had just great overall brightness, and I hadn't had laser in a while.
Okay. That's great. I haven't had that treatment, so I don't know too much about the particular one. But the gist is, as long as the treatment and the laser doesn't produce too much heat, it's more suitable for darker skin tones because, again, heat can actually make your skin produce more melanin, which is how you can end up with more pigment in your skin or burns. So there are definitely treatments out there for darker skin types. And again, it's about the consultation and your practitioner suggesting the right treatment for you. But yeah, there's more and more on the market that can treat all kinds of skin types, Fitzpatrick's. There are machines that can literally treat anything in the one machine. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. But the industry is developing rapidly, and there are more and more options available for everyone.
Okay, so you just made a perfect segue to our next skin condition, which is pigmentation. Mm-hmm. So over to you for what is available, what kind of technology we should be listening out for when we have our consultation.
Yeah, pigmentation is a big one. And again, there are so many kinds of pigmentation. So the first thing is someone needs to analyze your skin and tell you what kind of pigmentation you have. So it might just be some sun damage, basically what we would call freckles. That appear on your face, or you might have melasma, which is actually a hormone imbalance-based kind of pigmentation and harder to treat. But there are options for everything. So let's start with the pico lasers. They're seen as like the gold standard for pigmentation. So pico lasers, pico refers to the pulse duration of the laser, like how fast it shoots the light beam. And, you know, pico, it's so short you can't even see it counted. It's shorter than nano. It's the quickest, shortest pulse duration. And pico lasers are great at just targeting the pigment and shattering it. In that pico moment, the pigment particle gets shattered into a million smaller pieces, which then makes it easy for your body to eliminate it. So usually it'll come up. So after a few days, you'll see the little pigmentation freckles come up and darken on your skin, but then they flake off. And then you have more even skin tone. So pico is a great option for pigmentation.
And I find that it's also quite painless too. It's a great treatment.
Yeah, I think because it's so quick, probably, maybe that's what makes it so like relatively comfortable. Again, because it's a lot of energy delivered very quickly, might not be best for darker skin tones, depending on your skin. There's also something called Q-switch laser, which is a slightly longer pulse duration. But because it doesn't fire as much energy, basically, because it's a longer interval, it might be suited to darker skin tones, and it also has less downtime. So Q-switch and pico are options to treat pigmentation. IPL as well, just to mention that quickly, because we already discussed IPL for redness, but it can also target pigment in your skin. And again, it comes to the surface and flakes off. But because it's not quite as high energy, you might need more than one or two treatments.
You mentioned something which I think is really an interesting distinction. Again, you know, from your professional background, I'm so pleased you raised it. There's not one type of pigmentation. There's many different types of pigmentation. And again, going back to a professional consultation, it's really, really important to have that consultation to determine what is the nature of your pigmentation. Is it melasma? I have melasma. And so I had to become an expert in advocating for my melasma so that if I went to a new clinic, for example, for something else, I would say to them, is there any heat in this treatment that I'm going to have? I have melasma because I know that a hot bath can flare up my melasma. Wow. If I sit by an open fire, it can fire up my melasma. So heat is not my friend. I mean, a really spicy meal can fire up my melasma. So I have to advocate for myself if I'm not seeing my normal practitioner or I'm not going to my normal clinic for everything. So, but it was my clinician, it was my doctor, Dr. Joseph Hekik, who told me, you have melasma. Mm. We're not going to do anything with heat in it. We're going to be very careful not to scar your skin. We are going to treat you with kid gloves. Every treatment that we always do is cool. Yep. But then there's pigmentation from sun damage. There's pigmentation from acne scarring. There could be pigmentation from your medication. It could be on medication that causes pigmentation. So it's really, really important to have a correct diagnosis of what kind of pigmentation so then you can go down the right path of the technology or the device or the treatment you have. Is that right?
Yeah, if it's misdiagnosed, you can actually make it worse, especially melasma. Your body just goes into like overdrive and produces more melanin if you use too much heat on it. And it's quite tricky to treat. It's similar to rosacea. You're never going to get rid of it completely. It's going to come back. But if you treat it, let's say, once a year in winter, winter is better because you're not exposed to sun as much. Very important. Around the treatments, you can't expose your skin to sun, I think at least 3 to 4 weeks before and after. And you need to wear your sunscreen. If you're not going to do that, forget about having laser for your pigmentation because it's just going to come back after a few weeks. So there are a lot of things to consider. But yeah, you can keep it at bay. You can definitely minimize pigmentation with the right treatment. Also, non-device treatments. There are lots of peels which might be better for your type of pigmentation. I'm not going to talk about that today, but just so your listeners know.
Glad that you mentioned it because I think it's really good that you have, because one of the other things that's going to be massive, and I think almost helped along by the new legislation of what you can and can't say, is multimodality treatments are going to be a huge topic of conversation. Certainly something that I've always advocated for, but I think with the limitations about what you can and can't say, people are going to, doctors, clinics, estheticians are going to talk about the full range of options that are available for treating skin. My question to you is, when you are having, say, a laser treatment or a device treatment, technology treatment for pigmentation, skincare is like 50% of the partnership, right?
Yeah, often you need to prep your skin for the laser treatment. So the practitioner will give you specific skincare products to use sort of like 3 to 4 weeks before the treatment, ideally, I think. And it just helps reduce the melanin production in your skin as far as I understand. So it just preps the skin for the treatment to achieve optimal results.
And then afterwards, you need to be like hypervigilant about sun protection, hypervigilant about not using anything that's overly active or at the wrong time in the healing process. So that multimodality just there is really, really important, as is, you know, there's a lot of conversation about exosomes, which is a whole other topic, but that's a topical treatment protocol that can help heal the results of device treatment faster. And also there was a lot of conversation I've noticed about nutraceuticals such as collagen, such as supplements like zinc, for example, or arnica if you've got bruising, that you can take orally that can support your treatment.
Yeah, there are actually supplements out there that can help with pigmentation too, which you never think. But yeah, as you said, multimodality is the way to go. There's no miracle treatment that can just fix one of your skin concerns, it's always best if you do a little bit of everything regularly. That's how you get the best results. So absolutely. It just, yeah, ask for a treatment plan for best results. And then, I mean, you can still sort of, if it's not within your budget, you know, you might say, oh, I can't do everything, but let's start with this and see how we go. But ideally, it should be a treatment plan that the practitioner recommends to you over several months at least.
Yes. And you know what? Your damage usually didn't occur overnight. So your treatment can't be fixed overnight. And it takes behavioral change as well. And I think behavioral change is the biggest part of it. You know, compliance of sticking to the program that an expert has developed for you. It's like a diet. You know, you have to stick with it. You get your results usually after 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And the same is true for, you know, a great complexion, a great body, great hair, you know, all the things that we talk about in aesthetics. It does take some investment of time and compliance with the protocols and repeated use of, you know, actives or active treatments to get the best outcome. And then you've got to maintain it. Like it's like coming off a diet and then, you know, having a festival of eating. It doesn't work that way.
No. So I would say to everyone that's listening, if you're not willing to put the work in, don't waste your money. You know, you might improve your skin for a couple months, but then if you're not doing all the things that you just mentioned, it'll just come back.
All the things. Oh, my God. I do all the things. Whenever I get a compliment, people go, oh, you look so well. You look so natural. I go, I do all the things.
Did not wake up
all
like
of them. I'm pumped full of filler. I've had all the lasers, all the skincare. I drink SPF. You know, it's like, I don't really drink SPF. But you know what I mean? I do all the things. I drink the bone broth. I take the collagen. You know, I remove my makeup. I double cleanse. I use LED light. Like, really, I do all the things.
Yes. And funny, you mentioned LED light. Maybe we can touch on that quickly.
Please.
LED is something very simple that we can all do. So basically, LED is like a bit of a workout for our skin cells. So it just helps our skin cells work better, work more efficiently, you know, helps with the turnover, oxygen that's in the skin cells. So your skin just works better when you use LED light. There are now a lot of at-home options that I'm sure we've all seen on Instagram. You know, it started with the Omnilux one, but now there are so many brands that offer
at home. I love my Omnilux, in full disclosure. I do love mine. I have the neck one. I have the hand one.
Nice.
I have the face one. And I want to tell you a funny story. I don't know if I've told you this, but I think about 8 years ago, I bought the professional one for the house.
Oh, wow.
I have the OG Omnilux. I bought it for the house.
Yeah.
And it's so weird. And I've given it to friends when they've had babies and stuff. I've wheeled it over, put it in the car and wheeled it over. I said, have my Omnilux for 6 weeks or, you know, something bad has happened to them. But that machine, it's old now. It's super old. It's so effective. It helps with jet lag. It's helped with pigmentation. It's helped with healing post-treatments. I don't wheel out. I call her Big Bertha. I don't wheel her out as often anymore. She's in my spare room. But when I did, I used to do my face, my boobs, my tummy, my bum, everything. Like if I had skin, I would just move it down. Like,
love it. That's so good. Yeah. It's all about doing it regularly, right? So whether you have a fancy full body or professional one.
I want a bed.
I know, that'd be great. but with the at-home ones, if you just have the face one, it's really important that you do it regularly. So I've heard very mixed opinions about the at-home LEDs, but sort of the consensus is use it as often as you can with the at-home one, because obviously the energy output is not as strong as a professional one. So if you have it at home, you need to use it at least every other day, maybe even every day at the beginning to get the result that you want. If you don't have that and you're happy to go to a skin clinic, maybe once a week or once a fortnight is enough, because the professional ones are a lot stronger.
Yeah, and they have the different lights too, right? So the LED that we're talking about is red light therapy at the moment, but they have other colors that can
do. So red is a good overall helper. It helps healing, which is really great post any treatment. But there are also different colors, for example, blue, which is antibacterial, which, should we talk about acne?
Yes, please. We could talk about acne. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the most common skin conditions and skin issues in Australia is acne. You know, it doesn't only affect teenagers anymore. It affects people at every age. And it's very hard to treat, kind of like melasma, because it often has like an underlying cause. And you sort of need to find the cause and treat that. But there are treatments and things you can do. Blue LED is antibacterial. Now, don't expect an at-home blue LED mask to cure your acne. Absolutely not. But it can help. You know, if you use it every day, it can help other treatments. So that's one thing. But then there's actually a new device, and that's one of the more exciting ones this year, called AviClear, which is a laser that is specifically targeting acne patients. So, you know, a lot of acne
patients... AviClear is spelled A-V-I-Clear.
Right. Exactly. A lot of acne patients ultimately get put on Roaccutane, like an oral medication that can help with your acne, but it has so many side effects. You know, really, like, there's a huge list. And one of them is, like, it makes your skin really dry and almost cracking. And
your mouth dry, your hair dry, your eyes dry. Like, it literally, you're a raisin.
So it's not a great solution, but a lot of people are on it because it does help with acne. But now there's a laser treatment, and it's officially launching in May this year, but a few dermatologists already have it in Australia and they've seen great results. So AviClear is a, it's a laser that targets the sebaceous gland, and acne is formed by basically too much oil production by the sebaceous gland. And then you're, you know, dead skin bits and pieces and bacteria are just sitting in the pore with the oil and basically clog the pore, and that's how acne forms. So it's bacteria that's sort of stuck in your skin. And if your skin produces too much oil, that's what happens. This laser treats the sebaceous gland and damages it so that it can't produce as much oil. And if it doesn't produce as much oil, you pretty much don't have as much acne. You know, in an ideal case, you don't have any acne. And yeah, the results that they've seen are amazing, especially because they seem to be long-term. Obviously, it's a new device. It's been used in the US for a few years, so we can look at the US and the results that they've achieved. It takes a few months to see results. I think you need at least 3 treatments. But then all these acne patients that have tried everything and nothing helped are actually seeing that their skin is clearing up after a few months and stays like this for a long time.
So you might that would be such a gift to someone with cystic acne or active acne or hormonal acne, as you were saying. Do you know the other thing with acne is that often you can't use devices and treatments while the acne is active.
True.
And the acne is active all the time for a lot of people who are suffering from acne. So they've got not only active acne, but they've got scarring that they can't get to, pigmentation that they can't get to because they're constantly in the cycle of active acne somewhere in their face. So this is a really interesting technology, right?
It is, yeah. And it is something quite revolutionary in the industry, which is great because, to be honest, you know, having been in the industry for 10 years now, it's not often that a new device comes along that blows you away and that's something completely new. There are a few technologies that, you know, we've been using for the past 10 to 20 years and, you know, they're tested and they're trusted. But every now and then there's something new, completely new technology, and this seems to be one of them. So, yeah, I can't wait for it to properly roll out in Australia and see the results that we can achieve for acne patients.
So we just talked about the actual condition of acne, but then the other thing that lasers and devices are used for are the side effects and the follow-on from acne. So pig scarring, pigmentation. So there's that aspect of it as well. And so lasers and devices and technology has been an important part of that conversation, hasn't it? So if you had teenage cystic acne, you're now older and you just don't like the scars, there's, you can do something about it, right?
You can. And all of these treatments and devices are basically about stimulating your skin to produce more collagen and elastin so that it produces basically new skin, better performing skin. But, you know, in some cases with deep wrinkles and deep scars, you need to actually resurface.
Ablate them, exactly. Yeah.
So this is another type of laser. There are some different ones. There's CO2, erbium, and then there's fractional. So let's try and break that down.
Yes, please. So now we're talking about wrinkles and scarring, yes?
Yes. I mean, you know, slightly different, but say the same in the sense that you want to sort of remove the top layer of your skin, yes, to resurface it and to make it smoother.
Basically. And more even.
Yeah.
In more even in terms of texture. Yes.
Yeah. Texture improvement.
If you're listening to us, we both did like little wave hands.
Exactly. The acne scars. Yeah. So CO2 lasers, they have been around for a long time. They're attracted to water in the skin. And again, this causes heat. So it's a lot of heat that gets to the water in your skin, which then causes tissue injury and vaporizes the skin. This sounds pretty full on, to be honest.
So intense.
It is. This is probably one of the more intense treatments. If you,
and it's a proper downtime, right? Like you're not mucking around with this. No. Yeah.
So this is the kind of treatment when you see it before and after and you're like, oh my God, that person looks 10 years younger. What the hell? They probably had an ablative laser because it literally removes the top layer of your skin and makes your body produce new, fresh skin, which improves the texture and which reduces wrinkles, which reduces acne scars. But yes, so basically the top layer of your skin is vaporized and it ablates the top layer. And then over, I would say, 1 to 2 weeks, your body produces new skin. So the whole skin cycle takes 28 days. But in terms of downtime, you look like, you know, that Sex and the City episode with Samantha Jones where she had the peel and she has the red face. That's kind of what you look like after an ablation.
Story. I had Fraxel, I think it was like 3 weeks into meeting Lily's dad, he was my husband at the time, he was my boyfriend. And I went in and had like a full resurfacing treatment. And he was very kind. He tried to reassure me that I didn't look any different. And we went to dinner with his parents and I'd never met his parents.
Oh no, bad timing.
I had like a full wound on my face. Oh, my God. And I remember his father, who's wonderful. He just looked at me and he goes, you look just like your photos. He was trying to reassure me. And my friends were like, please don't go out and meet his parents. We're begging you, stop thinking this is normal. It's only normal in your world. Yes. Other people find this horrific.
Yeah.
And off I went with a full wound on my face. And it was so bad. I've seen photos since. But afterwards, my gosh. Yeah. I look like a swan. I've never liked my skin more. It was just pure baby skin.
Yep, exactly. So if you want a dramatic result, resurfacing is an option, but you need at least a week of.
Oh, at least. At least a week. but yeah, it like baby skin, baby skin. Totally. I do have to say, unfortunately, that was not a great treatment for my melasma.
Oh, yeah, again, because of the heat.
Yes. So a few years down the track, I had to have the mesoesthetic treatment for my melasma to create a new kind of big peel without the heat. Yeah. And that was quite instrumental in keeping my melasma under control. But yeah.
Yeah, so there is a laser called erbium, which is similar to CO2. It doesn't, like it's better absorbed by the skin, which means there's less heat loss as the heat is produced and therefore less thermal damage around the skin. And there's a bit of less downtime because of that. So that might be an option for some people who think, you know, CO2 is too much for me. Again, ask your practitioner. I'm not here to give out any advice, but just know that erbium lasers also resurface the skin. And you get really dramatic results with that. And then let's talk about fractional, what you just mentioned. So you said you still looked quite crazy. Technically, fractional is not as scary and bad as complete ablation because fractional, as the name says, only ablates fractions of your skin. So think about it as little columns that are heated up in your skin. But in between those columns, you still have your intact skin, which then goes into overdrive and repairs the other parts of the skin that were treated.
And it really looked like that. It formed this kind of a crust, which was half wound, half normal skin. And then it kind of created this crust, which then peeled off and revealed my beautiful new skin.
Yeah. So yes, again, there is downtime, but fractional is very popular because you're not completely ablating everything off. You're leaving parts of your skin intact, and it helps your skin regenerate and heal and create fresh collagen so you have baby skin. Not quite, but you know. Younger skin.
It's certainly new skin. It's definitely one way to look at it. Yeah. Have you tried CO2?
I haven't. No, I have not. Mainly because it's a bit tricky for me to take a week or two off and not go anywhere. So I just haven't found.
But you know what? In our industry, if we walked around with like a full, you know, face of ablation, yeah, I think we'd be all right.
Totally. It's very common for me to walk into the office and everyone has some sort of redness on their face because we're all having treatments. But you know, I think, yeah, with a full ablation or a Fraxel, you probably shouldn't be out and about too much either, again, because of UV exposure. So it's best if you can stay at home as much as you can.
So we're on the topic of wrinkles now. Mm-hmm. One of the events that we both attended recently was the launch of a device that does laser coring.
Yes.
That was exciting to me.
It was, yes. As you said, we both went to the launch event last week and it was quite exciting. It's kind of like the EviClear. I feel like that's the most revolutionary device to come out this year. And this is what you mentioned at the beginning, a cold laser. So it doesn't use heat. It basically, as far as I understand, it's like 1,000 tiny needles that produce cores in your skin. So actually remove skin tissue. But on such a micro level that, you know, it's not like you have a huge hole in your face, but it does this again and again, and it removes parts of your skin. So again, that the skin surrounding it.
But it's skin and tissue, right? Because it's quite deep.
Yes, you're right.
And unlike other lasers, when it's used in that setting for laser coring, it can only be operated by surgeons and doctors. And I quite like that because it's a heavy duty setting. Like this is when you're, as you said, drilling holes right down deep and pulling out like little tubes almost.
Exactly. Tubes is a good word to, I think, visualize it. Yes. So as you said, doctors only can operate it, which is great because it is probably the most drastic, full-on, non-surgical treatment that you can have. So it's great for patients that might actually benefit from a facelift, but they just don't want any surgery. And, you know, there are several reasons why you might not want surgery. Either you're just scared of it in general, the anesthetic, the downtime. But with this new coring treatment, you can achieve a lift in your face because your skin tightens, producing elastin, and it actually gives you a result similar to a facelift, not as, you know, dramatic as a facelift would, but
it never is as dramatic. So don't believe anyone that says non-surgical facelift. That simply doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. That's a lie. It's a marketing lie.
Exactly. But it gives you a more dramatic result than other skin tightening treatments. We can quickly talk about HIFU, which is very popular as well. So HIFU stands for High Intensity Focused Ultrasound. So this is a device. It's quite big and it glides along your face and it basically tightens. It lifts your skin and your muscles up through this focused ultrasound because, again, ultrasound causes the tissue to heat up. And wherever there's heat, your skin produces new collagen and elastin, and you can get a subtle lift of your face with HIFU. The great thing about HIFU is no downtime. You can just go back to work immediately. It's pretty much a lunchtime treatment. You might be slightly red, which you can cover with mineral makeup because it doesn't actually cut your skin in any way. It just goes through the epidermis down to where it needs to go.
And RF needling too, combined with energy.
Yes, RF microneedling is also a way to tighten the skin. But in this treatment, you do penetrate the skin. It's literal needles that go through the epidermis down to the dermis. But with RF microneedling, it delivers energy through the needle. So most of the needles are insulated. So the energy goes right down to the end of the needle and delivers the energy to the level of the skin that it needs to go, again, to produce heat, to produce collagen, elastin, and thereby tighten your skin slightly. Yeah.
So the treatments that we're talking about now could help with lifting, could help with wrinkles, could help with generating more collagen and elastin. Mm-hmm. There was also, we went to another event recently together. It was a device by Deca, an Italian company. And again, they were talking about new technology around lifting, which seems to be the thing that, you know, is the holy grail of non-surgical treatments. So, you know, we use filler for filling and dimension, I guess. We use biostimulators and skincare for skin quality and texture. We use lasers to treat below the skin level. But firming and lifting is really, you know, the holy grail. If we can find a device that really works and is compatible with most people's pain tolerance, most people's budgets, I mean, that's going to be the best thing in the world, right? That's going to be the most.
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned pain. I have to say those HIFU treatments can be a bit uncomfortable. So the ultrasound ones, I'm not sure exactly why, but I assume it's the depth that they go to. You can sort of feel it when you have it on your jaw, at least when I had it along.
I can feel it as we're talking about it. I have, like, literally muscle memory of the aching pain.
It's, yeah, exactly. It was a little bit like going to the dentist and having that nerve pain in your teeth. Not everyone gets it, but yeah, it can be slightly painful, but it's great that there's no downtime. So yeah, if you have sort of the budget for a few of those treatments, you can absolutely improve your jawline, your eyebrows. You can lift your eyebrows slightly. And there's this treatment which we mentioned at the beginning, M-Face, which is slightly different. So maybe I'll just quickly explain that. M-Face uses something called HIFES energy, so that's high intensity focused electric stimulation. You have pads on your face, and what they do is it's a combination of RF and the HIFES energy. The RF heats the dermis, which again great for collagen production, but then the HIFES energy makes your muscles contract. So it's like a workout for your face. So you're working out your muscles so that they, you know, lift your skin slightly. So it's like a combination of two things at once, which, as you said before, you saw results. So that's also a great option.
And you know, when we were at Cosmeticon just recently, I tried the Submentum pad, which is a new inclusion. I don't know why I've been so. When we were at Cosmeticon, I tried the Submentum pad. Have you tried that yet?
I haven't tried it yet, but I saw it at...
So this is a new kind of addition to their family of treatments. So it's going to help tighten this area just under the jawline, which is quite pesky.
It's hard to treat, yeah.
It's really hard to treat. And hormonally, it's often hormonally induced. Like, I never had it until after menopause. And it's like, what happened? I used to have such a snatched jawline.
Yeah, and you also have to figure out if it's actually a fat pad that you have or if it's just lax skin, because that's completely different, right? One, you just need to tighten, and the other one, you really need to reduce the fat under your chin. So, again, consultation is key.
And I want to go back to the RF microneedling that we touched on, because that's a hot one on social media. Like, there is a lot of conversation around it, and I want to touch on two things. One thing is, social media is not real life. And even if it's a doctor on social media, you have to remember not all doctors have all technology. So it really may be that they're promoting the technology that they bought for their clinic. So take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted you on the show, to kind of talk through all the technologies, all the brands, all the innovation in an agnostic way. So RF microneedling, I don't want to kind of go into brand names itself, was popularized on social media. It has been, you know, touted as the answer to everything, but also then demonized by people who say, oh my God, no, it's so terrible. How do you think, for a normal consumer, how do you think we navigate this desire to be entertained by this information? Because it's turned into entertainment, watching people have treatment.
It's tricky because even I find it super confusing. Usually when I go to an event by a brand, by a device distributor, manufacturer, I leave the event thinking this is the best device I've ever seen, you know, because they sell it. and they tell you so many great things about it, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. But then, I don't know, as you learn more and more about what exactly it does, or you hear from practitioners that have used it and aren't as convinced, and they tell you things that you didn't even think about, it's like, oh, maybe it's not as great. And I feel like this has happened with some of the RF microneedling devices out there.
Have you had RF?
Yes, I have. I have had the Axion ETL, which is one of the RF microneedling devices where you don't need a lot of numbing. It's not as painful, which is
great. I had TriLift. I
had that too.
And I love that. It was not painful at all.
Good.
But then I wondered, is it not penetrating as deep if it's not as painful as I've been led to believe microneedling can be?
And, you know, sometimes you don't have to penetrate as deep. That's the other thing. I feel like a lot of the side effects, the unwanted side effects, sometimes happen because the practitioner thinks, oh, we're going to go really hard, we're going to go really deep, and then it causes more harm than good.
I had no inflammation. I just had a great result. I have to say that was a wonderful treatment for me. And I actually am quite curious to try it on my knees. I want to try the CryoLift on my knees.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be really interesting to see. I've heard a lot of good things about TriLift too. There are so many brands and devices out there, but a lot of the time it's not just about the device. It's about the practitioner using the device correctly. And so that's tricky because as a consumer, you just don't know if what they're doing is correct. And I feel like some of the things we see on social media about people being really unhappy with the result is because the practitioner messed up. They didn't use the right settings. They didn't, you know, perform the treatment correctly, and it actually caused more harm than good.
Yeah. Gosh, there is so much to consider. Look, the good news is there's a lot of innovation. It's an industry that's growing rapidly. And when an industry grows, there's more money in it, there's more science, there's more R&D, which is great. But there's also a massive proliferation of information by people who should not be sharing information. So I would really urge you, like, I don't know if you noticed, but I never come on the show by myself and say, oh, I had this wonderful treatment. I'll do that a little bit on social media, but I'll always, always, always bring an expert on the show. Like, there is no show without an expert. It's all about the expert's point of view, because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a dermal clinician. I'm not a dermatologist. And so I'm very, very careful that I only bring forward expert advice. And I'm so pleased to have had you on the show. I think this was a great conversation. It was a wonderful conversation.
Hopefully it has shed some light on the confusing device industry, and consumers can make a bit more of an educated decision.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, thank you so much, Nadine. It was wonderful to speak to you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please share and rate this episode. I'd love that. I'm Baha Etmanen, your host and founder of Ageless by Rescue. For more exclusive content, show transcript, behind-the-scenes video, real people reviews, and extended interviews with experts, I invite you to please follow us at Ageless by Rescue on Instagram, Facebook, and Rescue TV on YouTube. You can also sign up to receive our e-magazine and newsletters, all for free,